come into the world, and we thank you. And so, Lord God, as we hear the carols sing and the scriptures read and the word preached and the music that goes forth, we are rejoicing again in knowing that you would love us so much that you would send Jesus. So speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak again for us a word of love and a word of hope and a word of joy and peace. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And this is a time to be happy and joyful. Although not everybody is happy and joyful, we do know that this is a time of year where, you know, many folks are who have lost loved ones are sad. That's the whole idea of Blue Sunday or Blue Holidays. But we pray for them. We pray for all of us who grieve the loss of loved ones. Yet we rejoice in knowing if they die in Christ, they are with him now. They do not die alone. So Advent is a time that brings all of that, bears that to mind. My sermon title today is, While We Are Waiting. While We Are Waiting. What should we do while we are waiting? I read this little reflection and it says, the season of Advent is a waiting game. Everyone is waiting for something. Students anxiously wait for finals to be over and the start of the Christmas week. Some employees have the big wait as they hold their breath and learn whether or not there will be Christmas bonus. I used to remember those days. Retailers count the days till they can count the bottom line from the season's buying frenzy. Kids of all ages can't wait to open up the brightly wrapped presents starting to appear under the tree. Everyone is waiting for the wrong things. Advent is not about waiting for sales, stuff, or Santa. Advent is about waiting for the appearance of something both eagerly anticipated and yet wholly unexpected. Now let me try that again. Advent is about waiting for the appearance not of something, but of someone eagerly anticipated yet wholly unexpected. Jesus is not Advent cut away or cut out. Jesus is the whole cut, the whole shebang, the whole story of Advent, Christmas, and Christmastide. In this week's gospel text, the focus seems to be on John the Baptist. But that's wrong, isn't it not? To be sure, John is a slightly mysterious figure. No wonder the religious authorities come to question him about just exactly who he is and what he's doing. John denies holding all the convenient titles the religious powers in charge would like to put on him. He refused the title of Messiah. He refused the title of Elijah. Instead, he refused the title of prophet. Instead, John the Baptist declared to us and to himself that he is a waiter. He's waiting. And we see from the scriptures oftentimes, throughout scriptures, we hear about waiting. In Psalm 27:14, it says, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we who are Christians should be used to waiting. We see in Isaiah it says, For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. They should walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord. John the Baptist knows how to wait. The people of Israel were forced to wait for many years. But now we live in a society where nobody wants to wait anymore. That's why we have all the fast food and all the other things. Nobody wants to wait. I heard something the other day, which I did not know last year, or maybe this year sometimes, of a young woman who was pregnant, expecting baby, and they were going to have a party. Now, I know about the shower party. We all know about showers now. Even in 1912, we weren't having any shower, but we know that we have showers and we get gifts. But this party was different. They were going to have a party to tell the name of the baby. A baby popping out party. Name party. I didn't quite get it. But it says when they meet, they come together. And I don't know if the person is popping out of a cake or what, but if the thing that pops out, if it's blue, it's a boy. If it's pink, it's a girl. So they can't even wait to figure that out or to say they have a party for that now. Do you know that? Have you heard about those parties they have in a party? What do they call them? The naming? What is it called? Gender something, right? Gender revealed. My Lord. So I met a couple last night, my colleague's child, and she said, oh, the mother, they're pregnant, and the mother's already crowning, and they're waiting, they're doing different things now, they're going to induce in stages, whatever. And I says, do you know what's the sex? Young couple, and they're late 20s, and they say no. They're waiting. I says, you're what? Why would you do that? Their parties. Their boxes people jump out of to say what the baby's sex is. I says, you're so old-fashioned and you're 29. I was so shocked because nobody waits anymore. There are no surprises. They're taking all the surprise out of the thing. They know the baby's name and they tell everybody. They don't even wait till you are the outsider, because I'm the outsider to that family. I don't need to know what the sex is. I'll wait. I could understand the spouse and the people together, but I don't need to know. But they got the name and they got, nobody wants to wait anymore. So Advent is hard for our culture now. We have to be careful. Nobody wants to wait. John the Baptist and you and I are waiting for different things. Or two similar, things that are similar yet different. John the Baptist was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The scripture tells us there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came to witness, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. John knew that he was not the light, knew that he was not the Messiah, knew that he was not the one who would come to give the word and come to save the world, but he knew that the light was coming. He knew his place. He did not have a Messiah complex. They asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one who you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thongs on his sandal. For over 400 years, the Jewish people had been waiting, children of Israel. They had heard that the Messiah would come, the one who would bring redemption to them, the one who would bring salvation to them, to take them out of Roman captivity. They waited. Generations died. Families died. Cousins and aunts died. They kept waiting, waiting and praying. When is the Messiah coming? When is the one coming to save us? When is the anointed one coming? Waiting and waiting. And then God would step into humanity's life. Step out of eternity into the lives of humanity. That's the song, Emmanuel, God with us. God would love us so much that he would wrap himself in cloths and be wrapped in a woman's womb and then be born and be among us so that we could see God as humanity. So that we could see Jesus, who is God in flesh, crying and praying and working miracles, and we could get a tangible look of God. and a touch to Jesus Christ. They waited and he came. So now, friends, because God is faithful to his word and he did send Jesus, he had promised it for many years, God remains faithful. And we now are waiting for what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're waiting like John the Baptist for the second coming. Many of us here won't see it. If Jesus doesn't show up now, he may just show up right now today. You know, I'm always telling him to come now. Like, come this minute. Come now, Lord Jesus, come. If he does not show up now, we will go home before he returns. We will see him. Amen. But he will come. And so thus we are waiting for the second coming. Now, friends, while we are waiting, we must do something. We are expected to do something while we are waiting. I got my nails done. You see, I have a nice, pretty, colorful. Can you see my pink nails? Normally don't have pink nails on, but I got a little perk up for Christmas. So I was at the nail place, sitting next to a lady who was out to here ready to give birth. I says, "What are you doing here? You look like you're ready." She says, "I am ready. The doctor just went. The doctor says it could come any time." I looked around the parlor and I says, "They're all women here. We could boil water and we could get towels. And we could say push. Whatever you're going to need, they're all women in the little place up here." She says, "You know, I'm waiting for the baby to come, but I'm going to get my nails and my toes done. I'm getting ready." She wants to get her nails and her toes done so when her baby comes, she looks lovely. I understood that. She was having her nail real short, but she wanted to all perk up and she got a nice, you know, foot massage and the whole bit. Because she's waiting for this baby. Isn't that a nice idea? And she looked so lovely and she was sitting next to me and I'm thinking, "Lord, if the baby pops out now, I'm going to have to get on my knees and I can't even get up when I'm done." Praying for her. Waiting for the expectation of this child. It's just a wonderful thing to wait. And she looked so lovely and so joyful. She was waiting for a baby, waiting. So while she was waiting, she got her nails done. She even had her eyebrows done because I was waiting to get mine done. As you get older, things happen. You have to get it straight. You know what I mean? Everybody knows. So she even got her eyes done and got the upper. She told me she was getting the upper lip wax. Whatever she needed, she was going to get it. So when the baby pops out, baby's going to see a beautiful woman. His mother. Isn't that just adorable? She was doing something. While we are waiting, we have to do something. We should let our light shine. While we are waiting, we who are waiting again for the second coming, we must make our light shine. The little song that the kids sing sometimes, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." You need to ask yourself, have you let your light shine of late? Put it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. This is the time of year to let your light shine, isn't it? When you're on the line shopping and people are getting crazy, let your light shine. Be nice to them. Wait till I tell you some things on how to get your light shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Let it shine. While we're waiting, we Christian believers of Jesus Christ must be busy making our light shine, friends. People must know that we are Christians. Now, we don't even have to say it. We should let our light shine. The Thessalonian text that was read, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 4, is said to be one of those end time books. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with the coming of Christ, because the Thessalonians believed that Christ was going to return anytime. It is called, and I'm going to say this slowly, it is called the eschatological doctrine, right? End time doctrine. And that's prominent in Paul's letter. They really believed that Christ was coming, so they were living their lives in that order because they thought, because remember, they're in New Testament time, and they knew that he had died and then came back, they heard, and then he ascended into heaven. They thought he was coming again. We too must believe that, because we do not know when Christ is going to come. And Paul told him, he says here, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. the one who calls you faithful, and he will do this. So they knew they were waiting. He's coming. We should wait with that kind of anticipation. And while we're waiting, friends, let your light shine. Now let me tell you how you can let your light shine. Then I'm going to stay up here today because, you know, I move up and down and the thing is here. So I may have to move out in a minute. Here's how we can make our light shine. Now all of you in this group, I spoke to my little earlier group, and they're not on social media like we are. But friends, we have got mediums and media, so to speak, that we could use to make our light shine. I know when we say making our light shine, everybody thinks they've got to get a banner and go with me and Zamzam up at the train station. You could do that. They just don't want to see me and Zamzam and Rosa and whomever. They would love to. Here's a light shining over there. Somebody's making their light shine. He's making the flashlight shine. That's how I want to see Jesus shining through. But the first one is, for someone like me, many of us are on the internet, you can make your light shine through my young computer engineers back here by creating a blog. Create a blog and have it on the internet. I have a blog on the internet. You could use your writing ability to share your light and your testimony. Tell somebody about Jesus. Use your writing skills to do that. Number two, social media. On Facebook, you think Facebook is just to take a picture of what you're eating at dinner and put it on? These things I see on Facebook, people take a picture and they put what they're eating. Who cares? As if we haven't seen steak before. Oh, I'm having this steak meal, and they put a picture on it. I'm having shrimp like they've never eaten before. It is not just for that. It's your Facebook page. You could do anything, but it's not just for that. You could use your Facebook page and your Twitter, if you're on Twitter. I'm not a Twitter person. We know lots of other people on Twitter. But use our Twitter and write uplifting scriptures. Write something positive. Let your light shine. You say you're making your light shine? It may be subtle, but you're making your post scripture passages that you have been reading and enlightening thoughts or lessons you have learned to uplift someone's life. Let your light shine, friends. And that's how you could do it. I do it all the time on the church's Facebook, but you guys have personal Facebook. The next one, be neighborly. You know, some of you people have been living next door to us for years. We don't even talk to them anymore. It's a different world. You know, get out and know your neighbors. Check on them. Find out what's happening if you haven't. If you've been doing that, then that's good. That's another way to make your light shine. All right, check on your neighbor. This is what it means. Simple things that could make your light shine. Be kind and respectful and help them feel loved. Invite. Many of you have your children and grandchildren who don't go to church. They don't know about Jesus, don't talk about Jesus anymore, or they're out of the church, they're so busy. Invite them. Maybe at your birthday, he says, this week is going to be my birthday. The gift I want from you today, would you come to church with me? Invite them. Let your light shine. And smile. Christian believers. Oh my Lord, how people need to see us smile. When I see Christians who look like this all the time, that's a problem. You know that's a problem. The light is not shining. And you know, dear Christians who never speak to you. I said today, and I'll share with you, that I've been in this church, and there are a couple of folks, just a couple, because there's most of you are wonderful and say hi to me. There are a couple of folks who pass me by. If I never say hi to them or good morning, they never speak to me. My God. And the light of Christ should be in them. If I don't say good morning, how are you doing? I don't know who they're trying to impress, because I will say today, they're not impressed in heaven. If I don't say good morning, how are you doing? Or good morning, they look at me like I'm made out of wood. And you know that yes, I'm constantly at Weight Watchers, but I'm not that small. They could see me. And never, never smile. And you can't get a smile out of them for nothing. If the light of Christ is in us, and the joy of the Lord is in us, my Lord, I'm really trying hard to be nice, a nice Christian. Because I want, when I get to heaven, Jesus says, Marjorie, you were nice to that person. You could have been nicer, but at least you tried. There is a responsibility about being nice. You know, I go up to the supermarket, and I used to go on this little line, and this guy, he was always so serious, and I decided, you know, I get to get my little thing. I says, how are you doing today? And he's looking at me, and I says, I know you're having a hard day, all these people coming in shop, but I says, you know, you do such a wonderful job. How are you doing? And he just, and I gave a big smile, and he just smiled back. I thought the next time he sees me, he's going to say, why she's coming on his line again. But I kept going on his line, and now when he sees me, guess what? He smiles, and I smile.
Praise the Lord.
And when I go up there tomorrow to do a little shopping, I'm going to go up and say Merry Christmas. And if he doesn't watch out, I may give him a hug and a kiss. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Not going to do that, so they arrest me now. Because you got to be wise to know about shining your light. And I have to share this with you, then I'll move on and get done. So I was in the subway on Monday. You know they had to almost bomb the subway. But I had to go to the city. So I thought, so my dentist, I had a dental appointment. I had him for years, and he's downtown, and I want to keep him because if I don't have any money, he'll take care of me. So he called me, his office, and says, are you going to come? Because we know they tried to bomb it. I said, yes, I'm coming because that's the best day to take the train. Because more police is going to be out than any other days. Why not? They said, you're coming all the way? I said, yes, I'm coming. Channel 12 News was at up here. I almost was on Channel 12 trying to ask us, you know, why are we going on the train that day? Train was packed. So as I get down, I get onto Penn, and then I have to, you all don't know the station that well, so I have to go to the east side. So I take the number 2, one stop, and then I'm at the 42nd, then I have to take the shuttle, and then number 6. It's a whole production number to go see this dentist. Good thing he's not charging me anything. So I get there, and there's a girl playing. She's playing a violin. You know, they have this, and she really is good. She really is very good, and she's got an accompaniment, and she's playing. So I says, let me take a moment and take the video. I really should be running out of the station, you know, but I decided to take the video. So I'm taking it, and she's so good, and I stood there, and then I put a dollar in the thing, because they always have the thing. And then she came up to me as I was leaving, and she says, could you send it to me? And she gave me her card. I was like shocked.
Did you invite her to church?
Listen, damn, it gets better. Here's what. So I said, oh, yes, I'll send it to you. Then when I got on the number 6 train going down, I thought, what are you, crazy? What if she's a crazy person and keep calling you? Then I thought, I really should send it to her and let my light shine. Amen. Right? Amen. So I saw found the card in my thing yesterday, and I'm going to send it to her. Now, I'm not telling you to do crazy things. I didn't tell her, invite her to my house. I didn't tell her to come out here. But Zamzam, I'm going to invite her to church. Let my light shine. There's opportunities to let your light shine. I'm not going to bring everybody from the subway here. I'd like them to come, but you know what I'm saying. Because I talk to people everywhere in the subway. They see me coming. They know. They say, she's coming again to talk. Because I'm trying to let my light shine, to let people see that the light of Christ is in me. Next point, we should serve. We should serve each other. If we see someone struggling with groceries, and we do that pretty well here, we try our best to serve, and by doing that, we are making our light shine. And we should give compliments. It's good to give compliments. You know, there are people who never have a nice word for somebody else. It's not a good thing, Christians. We should set high standards for ourselves. It's okay to say, good job, musician. Good job, pastor. Give compliments. There are people who never have a kind word. Maybe you all don't know anybody like that. Neither do I, because I'm walking around with the Lord. But there are people who never give anybody else a compliment. How could Christians be that way? And there are people who like compliments. We all want to hear, good job, or well done, or so-so, whatever it may be. We are letting our light shine, right? Can you imagine working in an office, and your boss, you work every day, day and night, and your boss never says, good job. We who are Christians should do that. It changes people's lives.
to hear a good word, to hear a kind word. Make it work. You know what I did the other day? Another confession. Pray for me. I know this lady, and she doesn't always, is a colleague, and she wears these crazy hat that doesn't really attract, you know, make her look good. And I should have kept my mouth shut, but she had on one with these long strings. So she was sitting with me, and I says, "Why in God's name you're wearing that hat?" I should never have said it, because I saw her face and I felt so bad. I thought, "Marjorie, you've been unkind." But it looked bad. The hat looked bad. Trust me, church. I didn't want to be a bad Christian, but it looked bad. Sometimes it looked bad. She just looked bad. Trust me. Pray for me, folks. Yeah, please, forgive me. So I thought, my God, you said it. I saw her face. So yesterday when I was driving up to Connecticut, another idiot move I made, but I was driving up to Connecticut. Going up wasn't bad, but coming back. So I was with a colleague who had been there when I said it. And I said, I was trying to get justification. I says, "Wasn't such and such hat look terrible?" She says, "Yes, Marjorie, but you didn't have to say it that way." Right? So I'm trying to be a kind Christian. I'm telling you that we're all in working process, aren't we? I'm trying to let my light. So I thought about it, and what I'm going to do, I'm just going to send her a nice little card and tell her how wonderful she is. I am. I should buy her a hat. Oh, come stop. See, these Christians are not getting it. So we make mistakes, right? And she's going, and I should do that, and I will, because I felt bad last night when they told me. You didn't have to say it that way. Right? And we could be a testimony. Tell folks what God has done for us. I want you to laugh today, right? We don't always have to have sermons that we are weary and we weep. We don't have to always be beaten over our head, do we? Because there's joy in worshiping the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, the scripture says. And Advent is the time that we should be happy and rejoice in. We don't have to read the first coming, you know, from John the Baptist and be mournful and leave here weeping. Why should we? We have Easter to do that. Right? To remember his death. Today we want to realize and be joyful. And then we could use our testimonies. Tell your young people in your lives, your family, how you got over, how you made it through. Sometimes you should just talk to them. Mom and Dad had to do such and such. Work two jobs. But God was with us. God provided food. Our grandma. Simple things will let them know about Christ. Don't hide it from them. Let us not pretend like we did it all by our power and our might. It is but for God who helped us, gave us the strength. Tell them, use your talent, friends. We use our talents in the church. Many of us here do here who serve, to serve God. From the bell choir, to the ushers, right, to all who are on committees. Using what God has given us, all of us, serving in the pantry, doing different things, serving in the pulpit, serving in the pantries, doing whatever we can to glorify God. Using the talent, the children singing this morning, the parents bringing them, using what God has given us to let our light shine. Isn't that what we want? So men and women and boys and girls could hear. And then lastly, fear not. Fear not, because the Lord is with us. Emmanuel, God with us, wrapped himself. Isn't that glorious? That it took God a while, didn't it? Many years, and then he says, "I'm going to come down for them." And he would be formed in the womb of a woman called Mary and come into this world that we can rejoice and sing and be glorious. So friends, it's Advent. And we are expecting this beautiful gift again, to celebrate it, the gift of Jesus Christ. Let us smile, friends. Let us have joy. Let us rejoice. For our Redeemer has come. And our Redeemer lives and reigns supreme. And give us the hope of eternal life.